Before we start the thank you. Welcome to the Sunday night There Is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org where you find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater and a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the big book and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there'll be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program and what the speaker has shared. Welcome, Pam C. from New Jersey, a compulsive overeater from New Jersey. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Pam C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Jersey. Really nervous. I mean, does anyone really enjoy being in front of a group of people with all eyes staring at them and telling their story? And it's not one of my strengths. So please forgive me if I wander, and I thank you all for being here, and I am grateful for the opportunity because you know, I say recover today and I mean it. I know that it's true, and I've been in these rooms for many, many decades, and never really felt that transformation in my heart, but I feel it today, and I know I have a responsibility to share that with others, especially those who are struggling or those who are still suffering in the disease. And you know, it's a miracle that has happened to me, and it's a promise. You know, it's a promise, and I know because I've experienced this miraculous change, that it's possible for anyone. It really is possible for anyone. So I believe that, oh, and I forgot to do my timer, so I have to pay attention to the timer that's up. So thank you for that. I believe I was born a compulsive overeater. For so long, I wanted to figure out why I have this problem. You know, I wanted to be able to blame someone, my mother in particular. But today I know that it's not anyone's fault. It's simply a fact of my life. And I don't know why, you know, I don't know why I was born this way. There's a lot of addiction in my family, so I think I come by it naturally. And I'm really okay with that today. You know, I no longer need to know. I always thought that if I could figure it out, I could make it different, you know, and there's a lot of things that I have figured out with reading and therapy and all sorts of different things, you know, but it really didn't change anything. The fact still remains that I'm a compulsive overeater, and I know that I will be for the rest of my life. And I also know that each relapse that I experienced, the disease was getting worse. It was, and I knew in the core of my being that I would eventually die from this disease if something didn't change. And the first, this memory just came for me very recently in the past week or two. I can remember I was probably only about 4 years old, and my cousin and her husband had me spend the weekend with them. And I'll be really dating myself here. They took me to the World's Fair. And I can remember, and I know I was probably about 4 years old because my cousin's husband had me up on his shoulders, you know, walking me around through the crowds. And they let me eat whatever I wanted to eat. And I remember the things, some of the things I remember were having cotton candy, having ice cream, having hot dogs. I know there were other things, you know, that I spent most of the day going on the rides and eating food. And there were no restrictions, you know, they wanted me to have whatever I wanted to have. And that night, during the night, I vomited badly in the bed. And, you know, I was thinking about that. I don't know why that memory came back for me, but you know, I know that I was a compulsive overeater in the making then, because a normal person, in all likelihood, would not have eaten the amount of food that I ate. And you know, it just got progressively worse. I didn't know that I had a problem then, but as I started to get older, I recognized that food had a different appeal to me than it had to my family members, and other people that I knew. So, it's been quite a journey for me. My disease is mostly, you know, mostly geared toward the overeating, binging. Although I did learn from a very young age to restrict, and I've been over 100 pounds more than I am today, but I've also been considerably less than I am today. And I'm a healthy body weight today. So for me to get too much lower than what I am, it's not a healthy weight for me. And there were times that my family was concerned that I may have been anorexic. I wanted to be, you know, because in those days, my mentality was you could never be too thin. But it didn't take long. It was mostly, it manifested mostly with the overeating and really binging. I started binging at a very early age. And once I hit my 20s, I wasn't able to restrict anymore. But I can remember the sense of control I would feel when I restricted. My goal was to feel hunger pains all the time because that meant that I was losing weight. And if I wasn't feeling hunger pains, you know, that wasn't the way to be. But it was more the overeating. I wanted to be bulimic as well. I didn't know what bulimic was, but I was aware that there were people who would binge and then make themselves throw up. I tried and it never worked for me. And once I got married in my early 20s, it really manifested with the overeating. And I was hiding. My husband, he's my ex-husband now, wasn't aware that I mean, he knew I struggled with dieting all the time. I didn't really have so much of a problem with my weight at that time. But once we got married, I gained a huge amount of weight in a very short time. And I think it was 3 or 4 months I had gained 40 pounds. So I knew something was wrong. And we had a family friend who was a member of Overeaters Anonymous, and she had shared about losing a huge amount of weight. She lost, I think, 160, 170 pounds. So I reached out to her, and she connected me with some meetings in my area. And interestingly enough, my first meeting was a Big Book meeting. I didn't understand any of it. I thought it was very bizarre. You know, I didn't understand the steps. I thought it was really weird that everybody stood up and held hands and prayed at the end. I just couldn't wrap my brain around that. I was too young. I just wasn't ready. But I did get a sponsor. I didn't work the steps with her. She was a food sponsor. I called her every day. committed my food, and I did lose the weight that I wanted to lose. And so I did have some success. And then I didn't anymore. I was there for about 2 years and decided that it just wasn't for me. And that was many, many years ago. 1983 was my first meeting. So it's been over 40 years. I went away for a while, and then I was really troubled in my marriage. Had two small children and was really struggling with this disease, and dipped my toe in a couple of times, but I still wasn't quite ready. And I have had a lot of years in other 12-step programs, which did help me. You know, I did experience recovery, emotional and spiritual recovery. I did, work the steps, but I really thought that working the steps in another program would help me with the food. I was still in that thinking that if I could figure this out, you know, if I could figure out my other life's problems, then I wouldn't need to use the food anymore. And of course, it didn't help. In fact, my disease was getting progressively worse. I ended up getting divorced and had two small children, and had some success in a pay and way program, and actually became employed by them because I thought that that would help me toe the line, you know. But once I hit my goal weight, I couldn't stay there. I just couldn't maintain it. I didn't understand that I was only working the physical part. I didn't have a way to deal with the mental piece, you know, the emotional piece and the spiritual piece. So, I ended up back in OA, and most of the meetings I went to in the area where I live now were tool-based meetings. And I saw a lot of success in those meetings. People who had long-term abstinence were working the tools, and I tried to do the things that they were doing, but I would only have limited success. You know, I didn't have any long-term sobriety in those meetings. I was going to a big book meeting, but we were just reading the big book and trying to relate it to our disease. We weren't really studying it. I wasn't studying the steps as outlined in the big book. I used some other literature to study the steps, but I still wasn't experiencing a transformation, the psychic change that the big book talks about. So many relapses, and I finally heard about a phone meeting that people were talking about, and I got onto that meeting and was feeling quite skeptical, especially when I heard that word recovered, because that word just made me feel kind of bristly. I thought, I how presumptuous to say recovered. You know, I didn't think if we really have a disease that there is no permanent cure for, that I'm not a compulsive overeater anymore, then how can you say you're recovered? But I kept hearing my story over and over again. I kept hearing others sharing about being chronic relapsers and that they were no longer in the disease and felt this amazing healing, you know, this transformation. And I really wanted what they had. So I got the first of several big book sponsors. And it was then that I started to hear the words in the book. You know, I didn't understand the physical allergy piece. That was new to me. You know, I knew that there were certain things when I ate them that I had a hard time putting them down, but I hadn't really connected that I have an actual physical allergy to certain substances and an allergy to certain behaviors. So that was a revelation. And the other revelation was that there are different types of alcoholics or different types of compulsive overeaters. And I realized that I am a hardcore compulsive overeater. I'm of the variety that I will steal food. I will go out in the middle of the night. I've done this when my children were sleeping to drive to convenience stores to get my fix. I will hide in deserted parking lots to satisfy this like bottomless pit, this craving, and dump the evidence in a dumpster so that my family wouldn't see it. I am a person who binges so badly that I get physically ill. It's just once I start, I cannot stop. And there, I have periods where I can hold it together for a little while, but I'm absolutely white knuckling it. And I end up picking up the food again. So, my last relapse lasted 14 months. I know today that that relapse began long before I picked up the first bite. I had made another person, my higher power. I had God in my life, but this person was a higher power to me. I have a tendency to give myself away in relationships, and that really took me down. It was actually that particular relationship had ended, and I was angry. I was really angry with God because things in my life were not playing out the way I thought they should play out. And so even though I hadn't picked up the food yet, I was ripe, I was really ripe. And I had gone to a party and ended up being late for the party because I was stuck in terrible, terrible traffic. And so that made me even angrier. And when I got to the party, I saw these containers of sangria on the tables, and I made a decision then that I was going to drink, even though I knew in my heart that once I picked up the alcohol, I would be back in the food again. It would only be a matter of time. But at that point, I didn't care. I was like, F it, I don't care. This is what I'm going to do. And sure enough, in less than 2 weeks, I was back full on in the food. And it was just a downward spiral, more of a downward spiral from that point on. And had so many moments of wondering, what will it take this time? What will it take this time? I've had many bottoms. What will it take this time? Will I have to gain back over 100 pounds? Will I have to crash my car because I'm binging while I'm driving? What will it be? And I have to say that this time, and nobody can predict, what that will look like, what that will be, when it will be, if it will ever happen. But for me, it was a real emotional bottom. I was actually in a meeting of another fellowship. It was a big book meeting because there were no big book meetings of an OA at the time in the area where I live. So I was going to big book meetings and another fellowship. And we were actually reading The Bedevilments this one day. And it hit me like a ton of bricks that I was living The Bedevilments. I was, I checked all the boxes. I was having trouble with my emotional nature. I was having trouble in relationships. I had a job. I still have the same job, but I could not show up for my job or my family. I was full of fear. I didn't feel that I could be of use to anyone. It was just this awareness of the way I was not showing up for my life. I was in so much emotional pain. The choices I was making were so contrary to who I am as a person. I was so ashamed of myself, and I knew I just couldn't go on. I was at that place. I was really at the jumping off place that although I would not, I don't think I would ever take my own life, I really felt like, what's the point? Like, why even wake up in the morning? The pain was excruciating with the way I was living my life. And I reached out to a former sponsor and asked if she could help me. And she wasn't available, but she directed me to a couple of meetings, a couple of Zoom meetings. And I had not done any Zoom meetings at that point. And I committed to go to the next meeting. And when I got on that meeting, and this was a God thing, I know it was God. The person who was speaking was someone that I had met from that phone meeting years before, and we had become friends, and I had lost touch. And she was clearly a shining, beautiful example of recovery. And I thought, I know this is God. I have to reach out to her. And I did. The next day I called her and asked her, if she could help me. And she actually wasn't available at the moment, but she said, I can get you started and we'll just see where I'm at with my availability. Thankfully, by the time I had gotten through some of the preliminary stuff, she was available. And she, one of the first things she insisted on was that I work on my relationship with God. And I knew that that was one of my failings. And she asked me to do a lot of things that I didn't want to do, that I thought would be too hard to do. I had to make three phone calls every day to recovered people. I asked her if fellows from my other programs made a difference. She said, you can talk to them, but you still have to call three people, three recovered people in OA, talk to them about their experience. I had to commit my food, weigh, measure, commit my food every day, not report my food, not make changes. There were a lot of requirements, and I was scared to death. And I had a lot of things going on in my life at the time that are not recommended when you're in that hospitalization period. I was getting ready to move. I had a trip planned. I was planning my daughter-in-law's baby shower. I had so much going on, and I just didn't know if I could. And she said, pray about it. So I did that. I asked God, I said, what, can I do this? I'm so afraid. I just don't think that I could do this. And honestly, I didn't think that it would work for me, but I knew I was out of ideas. I knew I was out of choices. And the answer was very swift and very brief, and it was just do it one day at a time. I was like, okay, I can do this one day at a time. I can do this today. I know I could do what she's asking me to do today. And slowly the change started to happen. And my third step this time was a profound experience. I'd never had that experience before. And when my sponsor was asking me if I was willing to give all of myself to God, I knew in those moments that I wasn't willing to give all of me. I had surrendered the food. I had surrendered a lot of the rest of my life to God, but I had these few little areas that I was so afraid to let go of because I was afraid that things wouldn't turn out the way I thought they should. And she said to me, I can't promise you that you'll get your way, but she said, I can promise you that God will give you everything that you need. And I had to believe that, you know, I had to trust that. And I did discover over time, over months, that slowly I started to release my grip on those other things. And I started, and I didn't get my way with some of those things, I can assure you. Some of it involved lost relationships, and you know, there was still a lot of pain. But I started to change, and I started to trust God more, trust God with more of my life. And as I was approaching steps 10, 11, and 12, I wasn't sure that I would really feel transformed, like I heard and saw so many other people share in these rooms. I was feeling pretty skeptical about it, but I kept going anyway, you know, and I remained rigorously honest with my sponsor and with other people, not just about the food, but with all aspects of my life, even when I didn't want to be. And I started to feel a transformation happening.
Five minutes
And
left.
thank you. One of the things that really started to change for me, I knew that I needed to do something different with my step 11, with my prayer and meditation. I really wanted in my heart, and I know this is what I've been craving my whole life, that real feeling of connectedness with a higher power, whom I call God. I wanted that, but I didn't really know how to achieve that. You know, I've spent my whole life feeling like I have to earn this thing, earn God's favor. And I know differently today. You know, we all have God's favor. And this is not magic. You know, this is not magic. I work the steps to the best of my ability every single day. I still adhere to those requirements that my sponsor asked of me. But I prayed and I asked God to show me ways to draw closer. And what came for me and had come for me in the past, but I hadn't really pursued it, was two-way prayer. And once I started to practice two-way prayer, I really started to feel an experience of God in my life, in my person, in my soul, you know, in my spirit. And that just changed everything for me. And I have a beautiful friend in these rooms who has shared, you know, to keep our focus right here on God, and that if I continue to look at God's face, all of this other stuff drops away, because I'm still very human and I still have challenges. I'm going through a lot of challenges in my job right now. But I know that this program works, and I know today that God is available to help me with all of it, and that God is interested in all of it. And you know, God wants that intimacy with us. And things, you know, God's will isn't always my will, but when I You know, I know that when I do what I believe God's will is for me, I feel better about me. I feel better about others. I feel a security about the decisions that I make, that even if I know that the outcome is not going to be the outcome, possibly not be the outcome I want it to be, that whatever that outcome is truly what's best for me and truly what's best for others. And I trust that so much today. You know, I've grown this fellowship. You know, they talk about being in the center of the herd, and I know that conjure some negative images for some people, but I think of the emperor penguins. This is the visual I have, the emperor penguins, and how when an egg is laid, they're in this big tight circle together and they keep passing the egg to each other. And the ones that are outside end up eventually on the inside and they're taking care of this egg and keeping it warm. And that's the visual I have of being in the center of the herd. And this circle, you know, it just keeps growing wider and wider. I just keep showing up each day, and not every day feels like this, you know, but I keep showing up for God and keep asking, you know, please show me the next right thing. And you know, it almost feels like magic, even though I know that it's not, and it's miraculous, and it's there for each and every one of us. So I encourage all of you, anybody who's struggling, not to give up, you know, not to give up, and surround yourself with people. Thank you. Thank you. Surround yourself with people who have a message that makes you feel good inside, that makes you feel loved and accepted. And with that, I will pass. Thank you so much.